We'd like to call to order a meeting of the Eastmark Community Facilities District Number 1 Board. I know that shocks most of you there, but that's what we're here to see. Any of you who aren't here for the Eastmark Community Facilities District Board can leave now if you, no, don't leave, because we're going to, this is going to be real quick. This is a special meeting, and we'd like to turn over to Mr. Odom to explain to us what we are doing in this special meeting.
Good afternoon, Chairman and Board members. What we're asking for this afternoon is to apply the assessment for previously identified street improvements within Eastmark Special Improvement District Number 1. It's a $3,500 assessment per lot, and that's all you're doing tonight is we've gotten the certificate of completion on the projects, and that's why we're here tonight is now to apply the assessment to those projects.
Now, the certificate of completion, is there any work on our part that verified that certificate, or is for this the imposition, do we just need the certificate without verification, or how does that work?
Our city engineer is the district engineer, right, and it's her certification of completion after inspection.
Okay. All right. Any questions or comments? I'll entertain a motion for approval. Motion from Councilmember Summers, second from Vice Mayor. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Next item, which we skipped over, was the approval of minutes of previous meeting. A motion from Councilmember Summers, second from Councilmember Richens. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. There being no further business, we are adjourned. I'd like to call the order now. Yeah, I need a gavel. I'd like to now call the order a meeting of the Mesa City Council for study session for Monday, May 20th, 2013. First item on the agenda is to review the agenda for tonight's regular council meeting. We'll start with page 2. Items 2 through 5A. Items 6A and 6B. Oh, first of all, I apologize. I'd like to excuse council members Glover and Kavanaugh. They're out of town and will not be calling in. Items 6A and 6B. Items 6C through 6E. Items 6F and 6G. Okay. Items 6H and 6I. Items 6J through 6L. Items 6M and 6N. Items 7A through 7J. Items 7K through 7T. Items 7U through 7AC, it's Alpha Charlie. Items 7AD through 7AG. Items 8A through 9C. Items 9D through 11A.
Mayor, I have one item. Item 10A, we need to pull from the agenda. There's a drainage easement that also needs to be abandoned, so we want to bring both back at the same time at a future council meeting.
Okay, item 10A is removed from the agenda. All righty. Next item on the agenda is item 2A. Hear a presentation to discuss the Economic Development Investment Fund projects. Mr. Jevgeniak.
Good afternoon, Mayor, members of council. Thought it'd be a great evening to give a update on some of our high profile and very successful projects that have been carried out through the Economic Development Investment Fund. Last year, the fund was created to support and carry out projects, including some of our highest profile projects. And the first one I'd really like to hit on is Benedictine University. Benedictine has currently occupied about 3,800 square feet at 51 East Main Street. Their Student Services Administration building. Just opened a year ago, and they're making lease payments on that space since that time. They originally signed a two-year lease with options to renew. The building you see there in front of you is still the rendering of 225 East Main Street. That is scheduled for completion here in July, just a couple of months away. First phase involves approximately all of the first floor and a part of the second floor. It's about 41,000, 42,000 square feet of a 68,000 square foot total renovation. That is on schedule, but just barely. So they're excited. There will be 8 classrooms, 1 nutrition lab, 22 offices, and 6 conference rooms, including community rooms, in that building. The approximately 25,000 square feet of usable space is being reserved on that upper floor and the rest of the second floor. And I think it's important to, when I start to look at numbers of students, let me maybe back up for just a minute. Staff was able to put together for me, for the academic year 2013-2014 coming up, so these are all schools combined, projected between 200 and 225 students in downtown, year one. That's a great start. That's a fantastic start. They've also inquired, Benedictine has also inquired, about leasing space at both the Mesa Arts Center and at the Mesa Center for Higher Education. We've encouraged them to take advantage of some of the labs that are being built at the Mesa Center for Higher Education. As they grow their program offerings, please consider leasing that space instead of building duplicate space in their own building. They did sign a 15-year lease almost a year ago. They are, I think, the option to purchase kicks in year 10 to purchase that building, which is exciting. They are managing and paying for all the services in that building. Important piece. So facility maintenance, carpentry, custodial, print services, security services, utilities, trash, so forth, is all included in that building. So a lot of great things going on there. And then shifting over to the Mesa Center for Higher Education, which is home of Westminster and Wilkes. They will be, they both have signed a 5-year lease in the facility. They are going to be starting classes. Technically, Wilkes has already started. Westminster will start here this fall as well. But they are on course. This was a much easier $6.5 million investment on this property, a $10 million investment on the first property. This one is on schedule, on budget, and we haven't had nearly the concerns and change order proposals as the first building. As part of that lease agreement that they have signed, the city will actually be providing some services at the Mesa Center for Higher Education. So that includes all the facility maintenance, all the shared print services, security services, or managed IT services, trash, electric, gas, wet water, wastewater, all of those items are now our responsibility in this property. This will all be coordinated through a new position that'll be in facilities maintenance. It'll serve as a central point of contact for all things that come up at the building. So they'll coordinate with either the private or contracted services or other departments that may be involved as well. So like I said before, both projects are on schedule, on budget. Excited to see everything come together with a July and really an August opening for first classes this fall. This continues to be an item that we hear a lot about in the economic development community out and about across the valley. A lot of excitement. People are looking at this as a model. I will share with you, we've been told, I have not seen, we have told the actual recruitment and process was used as a case study by Harvard University. That says a lot about the whole process and what we're doing as a community to support this. I think that support has to continue as we march forward.
Was it used as a good example or a bad example? Because I remember those Harvard cases. Some of them were, go ahead. I'm assuming it was a good example.
I would certainly think so, Your Honor, but until I see it.
It was Harvard.
Here it is. The second high-profile project after the education initiative is spring training. Most of you know a lot of detail about spring training, but the debt service for the bonds are all included in the economic investment fund. The project here is on schedule, on budget as well, for $84 million, in addition to the $15 million that will be used for public parking, drainage, and street improvements as well. Then I think as you move over to the Oakland A's, the investment in the renovation of Hohokam is for $17.5 million, will also come out of this, and we are capped at $17.5 million. As you're all aware, the discussion over a hotel or two is actually exciting. When I talk about what's happened in Glendale or what hasn't happened in Glendale or in Goodyear, the fact we're having discussions over a couple of them, I think, are very positive steps. The third thing on this screen is Visit Mesa and the Mesa Limitless campaign. We originally had some dollars set aside for marketing for airlines at Gateway. Decision was made during the year to actually assist Visit Mesa in their marketing. So the funds have been reprogrammed. It's about $250,000 have been reprogrammed for this. And as you've heard Mark Garcia and his consultant talk about the emphasis on education and quality economic development, this fits very nicely with what we're trying to get accomplished here as well. The third high-profile project is AZ Labs. Let me get into a little bit of where we're at without touching on the security issues. We've announced there are three existing leases now. Two of those, actually one of those is for an entire building at the lab. Two of those have plans to expand beyond their current presence as well. There are also three pending leases. Two of those are awaiting federal contract award from D.C. So again, I think this is starting to become a well-known entity and an opportunity. And this was also used as a great partner in the state's effort with the FAA to become a test center for unmanned aerial systems and their integration with manned systems, manned vehicles, if you will. Modeling and simulation is a strength. This played an important role, and the state really pulled together, and I know Alion really was a big asset and big plus for that as well. What are we doing for new tenant attraction? And really, there's ongoing briefings and tours with federal contractors, academic organizations, other U.S. government entities as well. But on the 26th of March, we actually had a defense forum. And the defense forum, I think we all felt we weren't quite sure how it's going to turn out. It turned out eight new lease leads, and they are followed up weekly in addition to the multiple trade shows. Things like the Unmanned Aerial Systems Trade Show, Nationally Model and Simulation Conference, and so forth. Last item is the conveyance under the lab. And we are still under an interim lease with the Air Force. That lease expires the 26th day of June of 2013, just over a month away. The Air Force has certainly put a high value on their piece of property, so negotiations have slowed. We are, I think, looking at this as the investment we've already made in the last couple of years should be part of this calculation as well. And I think that's where we're at with this status going forward. So more to come on the conveyance, hopefully very shortly. The next item is the accelerator. And we heard a lot of great things earlier today with the accelerator. It's a great partnership with ASU Poly. Certainly, the development of a technology accelerator in 6,500 square feet of space on the ASU campus, located next to AZ Labs, surrounded by that, by Poly, and across the street from the airport is a great clustering of assets that we're that we have and can share with our partners around the region. This is really a little different from an incubator. This is second stage. So think of incubators assisting the childhood phase. This is the adolescence phase before you get to adulthood. We currently are drafting or have drafted a program of services. That is a list of potential services that may be offered from that. So you'll have everything from legal assistance to maybe some strategic planning. You may have, you already have a business plan when you're there, but how about the opportunity to apply for SBIR funding or STTR funding? There's assistance and a different level of technical assistance to help you grow and prosper as well. One of the other pieces I missed on, but because we're literally in the backyard here, is the hub zone. We had designated a hub zone. A hub zone is a historically underutilized business zone. So the lab is now a SBA certified and an SBA managed program called the hub zone. It really gives anyone who's in there competitive advantages for procurement with the federal government. And that's important as each one of these are trying to chase down other federal contracts. This gives them a big advantage as well. The focus for the next year. We've talked a lot about healthcare as the other part of HEAT. We have completed the market analysis and the business recruitment strategy. We're starting to implement that in the very near future. The key piece of this is more pieces of the puzzle than we can tackle all at once. So we're in the process of trying to identify what the priorities are, what the low-hanging fruit may be. But certainly we've done a lot of research, and we had the schools tell us as we went through the process that research was invaluable to them during the education process. We tried to follow the same model with healthcare, do the amount of research that's important, and be able to demonstrate to us that the opportunities are there. Some of those areas of opportunity, and I'm just going to touch on a very high level, medical simulation, medical devices and equipment, healthcare delivery. Think about the shortage of doctors and that are not just here in the Valley, but across the entire country in a lot of ways. Research and development, supercomputing and bioinformatics, medical education, and algae-based products. So stay tuned, more to come. I think Mr. Brady and I have been talking about making a formal presentation to council after you get back, but we'll be starting to go down a road here of putting the pieces in place on a healthcare recruitment starting this summer. So more about the Economic Investment Fund as we march forward. The last item is a business assistance program for targeted areas. Now, what's that? It's a simple program we're developing, or programs is a better way to put it. And I'll use the example of the Price Road Corridor in Chandler. Why don't we have a Mesa Technology Corridor here? I think there's a great opportunity that exists for that out in the Gateway area. Same thing about vacant retail centers. Can they be used for charter schools? There's a model out there for that as well. So I think as we continue to use, put programs together back in front of you and in front of city manager to be able to talk about some of those opportunities as we go forward. That's it, I believe, for formal presentation. Questions?
Questions? One thing is that I'd like you to maybe, and we've talked about this a little bit before, as we look at some of these healthcare recruitment and other things, as we look for research and development, one of the topics of conversation has been infrastructure. An infrastructure in this case, especially as it relates to scientific, technological, or research and development, that can be a game changer is broadband, accessibility, speed, the super Wi-Fi, those kind of things. I know some staff, and as part of our overall evaluation of our infrastructure, we're looking at areas and ways that we might expand that or create some of these different in certain zones, wherever it might be, whatever you would define as that, whether it be downtown, whether it be in a medical corridor or something, that we might want to look at possibilities to enhance our infrastructure to a level that doesn't normally exist. Is that something that's come up as part of the, not as a physical, but as an economic development strategy? Is that something that you might include in your analysis?
Looking to, I think, get involved and get a little more detail with the broadband and how does that work with supercomputing? How does it work on an overall? And I think you're right on with the medical opportunity. I think we just need to define what part of the city that makes sense in. I don't, you know, from a dollars and cents, is it practical to do the whole city? But it's not. But
no, and once again, I don't want to get it turned around. That isn't the philosophy. I know some communities have gone and tried to get a widespread.
Right.
I think that it should be part of what we're presenting. If we could present an area that has other existing assets, gateway area, just because we talked a lot about it. If as part of that general area where we're already talking about high-end technology and everything, if we looked at the infrastructure, say, are there ways that we could differentiate this? And certainly connectivity and broadband, whatever it is one way that we could further differentiate that. Mm-hmm. And look into ways that we can elevate the infrastructure. We've done it with an airport. We've done it with the freeways. It's one reason why we went ahead with SR-24. We've done it downtown with light rail and with improving the buildings for the colleges. One more thing we haven't talked about is, for the future, it's innovation. It's mm-hmm. connectivity. What can we do, if anything, in those specific targeted areas to what's the status right now? Can we improve? Does that give us an advantage? Those are questions that I'd like to see looked at and answered. Not to come up with some strategy of how do we expand Wi-Fi throughout the city. That's not an economic development strategy. I'm talking about making sure that as part of our infrastructure review, we have something to offer that might give us an advantage in a specific area, wherever. And that's up to, I think, for you guys to look at and say, where's our greatest opportunity? Does that make sense?
It does. Okay. Makes a lot of sense. Glad to work with the rest of the city staff as we sort of plot that out and think about it.
I mean, downtown is a ready place simply because there's a lot going on here, and I have no idea. I'm not technologically savvy enough to know what it means. I just know there's a lot of people talking about it, and they're talking about if a community can offer this, this, and this, it further separates them from someone else who just says, hey, come to us, we got great weather.
Yeah.
We got low taxes. We got those kind of things. A lot of places can say that. I think we're developing very unique areas of opportunity. So
agreed.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
The next item is to hear presentation, discuss, provide direction on the fiscal year 13-14 budget update and utility rate adjustments. I believe this is the second part that we didn't get to the other day.
That is correct, Council. And what we're here today is really to do a continuation of the discussion that we started last Thursday morning, where we had ended off, we had finished off the general fund discussion, and we were going to start the enterprise fund discussion today. For the enterprise fund, we had done some refinancing of existing debt in fiscal year 11-12, and that allowed the city to forego some utility rate increases that were previously scheduled for 12-13. The projected length of the recovery at this point from the recession is going a little bit longer and a little bit slower than we had originally anticipated. We had hoped to again forego those another year in 13-14, and we're not able to at this time. The city is then recommending that we do a minimum increase in 13-14 to water, wastewater, and the residential portion of solid waste.
Question?
Yeah. Vice Mayor.
Why only those three? Why not gas, electric, others? Who took that off the table? Or I'm curious why, you know, kindly.
Really, when we're looking at these, when you look at the enterprise fund in total and the utility revenues in total, it's really the water and the wastewater have the largest spectrum of customers and the largest revenue contribution to the fund in general, and then it's along with solid waste after that. Electric is a very small area of the city, and gas does not cover the entire city. It has some areas that we cover and some areas that we do not cover. So when we were looking at the whole enterprise fund as a total, we want to do some minimal increases in those particular areas that were the most broadest customer base into the enterprise fund.
Well, and Mayor and Council, I also think when we looked at this and we looked at the pressures that were taking place in these funds, whether it's related to fuel, water commodity, for example, and the debt infrastructure, and some of the costs we were going to need to upfront to begin the transition of some of our CNG vehicles, recognize it'll pay off later. These were the funds where we recognized the greatest, we saw the greatest pressures for us to raise the rates. And so and they were the broadest base, and they had the greatest cost of impact. So that's why they were chosen. We could choose any one of them. We were just trying to, it's a minimal amount that is needed. We were trying to adjust it at just to what was needed to maintain the reserves throughout the forecast period.
And if you recall from when Water Resources came up and gave their department presentation, you may recall some of the cost pressures that they talked about within that presentation. We have some increases in the water commodity. We're estimating that about $500,000 in fiscal year 13-14 and $1 million each year thereafter. We also have some cost pressures in both the electrical costs and in the chemical costs for treating that water when it comes into the plant.
Go ahead. So a follow-up, what I've seen some pressures as we bring things through council budget, approval process, is there's a tremendous amount of reinvestment in the electric system. That, you know, one of the goals was to get that system up and going, and so we've had a lot of capital improvement there. Also in Magma Gas with some of the new large gas lines and replacements and some of the safety things. So to me, I think it would be a reasonable, even though we don't have that broad base of customers, it would be reasonable to look at those, and I've made those suggestions in the recent past or the last few weeks, to at least put them on the table. I mean, they may not be some huge numbers, but I guess every $100,000 makes a difference. At least the information I was given back is on the electric rates for residential customers, we are a little bit under SRP. And I think a theme that in the past that I've tried to promote is at least get us to the same as some of the others that are under Corporation Commission review. And same thing with Magma Gas. I don't know where we're at now on evaluation, but I kiddingly refer to it as the cash cow in another county. So I think this makes folks in resource areas just cringe, as I have no problem of looking at the cash cow and seeing
they're
what
not the only ones that are cringing.
So, well, it's just an observation. So I would personally hope that we would put them on the table and see what we could do.
Well, and to get into what the vice mayor is saying also, I think we've lost a little context on this thing, and I know the headline writers in the paper lost total context. You're going
to
get that?
I am.
Go through that, because going to the next slide, because even in the presentation, though, Candace, we have to put this, we're not, the presentation is we're looking for an increase to solve a problem. No. Since I've been on this council, we've been implementing a plan. And I think that comes into what the vice mayor says, and as we go into some of these gas, I know one of the things we talked about was the fact that, once again, the council as a whole has talked about parity with SRP electrical rates and trying to maintain that. We also talked about that in relation to the gas company and parity with Southwest Gas, and I think I remember a presentation where we were substantially lower than Southwest Gas out in the Magma area, and the idea was, why don't we look for some parity? That is not a single-year issue. That's part of a long-term issue. So if you want to go to your next sketch, because I think we've lost that perspective because we, and I'll get back to finish and sort of tie into what the vice mayor said, because I think it has merit if we keep that long-term perspective.
And just also to tie into the Southwest Gas portion out in the Magma area, if you recall, the council did adopt a fee to moderate that so that we would always be within Southwest Gas in the Magma area. We actually have a stipulation on that Magma rates down there that we always go against the Southwest Gas rates down in that area. So we have taken
that's
being adjusted for annually. That's correct, that we're always on parity with Southwest Gas. As we look forward, though, one of the things we do want to draw your attention to is just how beneficial that refinancing was to the enterprise fund in total. And if we look back just 2 years ago, in the spring of 2011, we came forward to council with a recommendation for rates. And if you see where we were at that particular time, this is pre-refinancing. So this is before we did that huge refinancing package. And if you look at the water and wastewater, the water rates were at that point forecasted we would need a 6.8% increase each year and then 5.8% in wastewater to attain our reserves at the level that we were, that our targets are.
But those weren't simply a forecast. Those were part of a plan we were approving policy-wise. We are setting current year with the idea that they were part of a rolling five-year financial plan.
Correct.
And I guess what we're saying is that as that refinance came in, we then applied that on an overall basis. I mean, in hindsight, no good deed goes unpunished, because we took that plan, which was going to require substantial, I would say a 6.8% increase is a pretty hefty charge to keep up with recharging the system, rebuilding, and to be able to apply those earnings to basically give back to the ratepayers. If you just look at it 1 year, now all of a sudden, oh gee, you're raising rates. Shame on you. When actually, what we're doing is we're still much lower than what we had anticipated 2 years ago. And I guess it's all in how you read it, but I think it's pretty good that we've been able to maintain and continue to utilize those savings. And the net savings is still well below where we should have been and would have been, and what we approved 2, 3, 4 years ago. Each of those years, as we've approved this five-year schedule going forward. I mean, am I missing something?
No, that is correct, Mayor.
So that we're looking at this.
We're still benefiting from that refinance, just because the economy is a little bit slower. Growing a little bit slower, taking a little bit longer, we're still benefiting from that refinance. We were able to forego the rates for 1 year.
Well, when you say we're benefiting, we're not the ones benefiting. Our ratepayers, our citizens, are the ones that are benefiting, because we have chosen to pass that on to them. And, you know, however, we've basically used that to offset costs that we were anticipating coming, and we're paying for those out of those savings, so that the rate increases are not what we had anticipated before, or would have to be before.
That is correct, Mayor.
Okay. Councilman Richens?
Just to confirm on your chart, your spring 2013 forecast, obviously you can't forecast things that were in the past two fiscal years, so I'm guessing those are actuals?
Yes, I'm sorry.
And the rest is a forecast,
that's
right?
Correct. So in 11-12, that does show the actual rates that were passed at that point, the increases, in 12-13, those are the actual ones as well. I'm sorry, we didn't stipulate that.
Thanks.
And that shows pretty graphically how it changed from 11-12. When you look at the 11, when you're looking at 6.8, 5.8, then all of a sudden you get the savings and you go into zero, and you know, you anticipated 6.8, 5.8, 1.4, and it goes down to much below that. Okay. Now, let me ask you this, just so we don't get into the same thing next year. Mm-hmm. Are we going to come back next year and say, oh, gee, we're going to have to increase this again, and it would be couched as a increase as opposed to some sort of adjustment to a long-term plan? Do we feel comfortable that what you're proposing right now will keep us on that long-term five-year plan as opposed to being perceived as a one-year fix? Because that's what concerns me. We've got people now that are thinking we're scrambling, and I've never perceived that. The one thing I've really appreciated of this council and staff is that we have never budgeted for 1 year. It's always been looking ahead and trying to plan for the future and even things out, whether it be our secondary rate, whether it be our utility rates. And, you know, we had a little glitch, so we have to adjust back. Unfortunately, that glitch went from zero up to restore a little bit, less than one-third of what we had anticipated the increase would be. But it's being perceived as a one-time type of a deal.
No, correct, Mayor. That's the way that we always look at it as staff, is we're always looking to smooth the forecast period. We don't look at just 1 year. So when we're looking at 13-14, we're looking at not only 13-14, but that effect on 14-15, 15-16, and beyond. And how can we smooth those rates so that the citizens who are paying those would not have a particular year where we might be up in the sixes and the sevens and the eights again? We want to make sure that we smooth that. So if we do see costs coming, whether it's increase in commodity costs, chemical costs, debt service, because we might have a new plant or something coming online, we anticipate that increased cost into the future, and we plan to make sure that the rates that we recommend are graduated or smooth, so that there's not any one particular
year. Sometimes that graduated smoothing doesn't work out exactly like we
It doesn't always work out the way we look at it, but we try to anticipate those costs going forward. Unfortunately, obviously, we can't anticipate all increases in cost, but we look at everything that's out there that's pending that might be on the horizon, in any of the different areas. The departments work very hard to look into the future and to see what they're seeing as trends, whether they have contracts that come up, because that can make a difference too. When are those contracts coming up? What do we see the market looking like for our commodity costs and so forth? So we take all those into account, look over the full forecast period, and then we look at our reserves to make sure that what rates would we need over a smooth period that would ensure that the reserves we have on hand are meet within our financial guidelines or our plan.
And Mayor, we did, and if you recall in the conversation, especially on the water side, the whole CAP discussion is still lingering out there, and the resolution of that. And this, and we did add, we part of the pressures of the 2% this year was the unanticipated increases in that cost that we only realized in the last 6 months or so. So while we try to, this is based on the best information we have today, but we know that there are issues that are out there that we haven't necessarily, I'm sure, fully accounted for. And you know, the whole Navajo Station CAP is another one that still sits out there. We've made an assumption on fuel costs, rates, and commodities, chemical costs that are built in. So that's each year we try to tweak it a little bit to be a little more understanding of what the pressures are. But today, this is our best forecast based on the information we have today.
Councilor Richens?
Just a quick question on water rates. When you get out 5 years, you know, I don't have any problem with the adjustments that you're making this year. When we get out 5 years to 16-17, you stated earlier that you're anticipating $500,000 in increased costs in water and $1 million every year thereafter. How do you get back down to 2% rate increase in 16-17 to account for that additional $1 million? Because you go 2%, then 4.9, 4.9, then 2 again.
Is the million cumulative, or are you just adding it one more year?
$1 million each year.
Cumulative?
No, total. So it'd be total cost $1 million. So once you cover the $1 million in the base, that carries through.
So it's not it's not a cumulative number.
It's not a million
every
year.
She's adding it into, and that's why it gets covered in those.
Yeah, I would actually anticipate a million every year. Well, seeing how that cap discussion's going,
yeah, well, okay.
As a hedge, but anyway.
Well, I think one thing we have to be realistic on, too, that we probably, last year in hindsight, you know, hindsight's great, I think the council before us, and we carried on, was very, very wise to freeze that general fund transfer. I think we took that probably a little too religiously, and that became a sacred cow in many ways, and that's unrealistic, because at some point in time, just to stay even, you've got to at least play the increase in some of your costs and make sure that you're not falling behind in real dollar terms. And I think when we, as holding that that general fund transfer, did we find out, is it 6 years or 7 years?
It's at least 5 years.
Okay, at least 5 years, and we think it's six years.
Minimum.
It was set before this council. Anyone on this council was on the council. Right. Maybe, I guess, Councilmember Summers in your first or second year.
Don't blame this on me.
You don't even know what I was talking about.
Yeah, I know you're blaming me.
I was giving you credit. Yeah. But I think what we, you know, in hindsight, we probably should have talked more carefully about the need to really have a reasonable increase in that amount. I like what it represents. I think this city for many years was rightfully at least questioned as to how they set their utility rates. And many times it was chasing holes in the general fund. And I think by fixing that amount, that solved that. I think two things that this council did as policy that really brought some, three things. Secondary property tax to pay off fixed debt, the freeze of the general fund transfer, and trying to equalize utility rates with SRP, which I think brought a lot of certainty and removed a lot of questions as to the policy. What we said was we were treating our enterprise funds independent from the scrambling to cover holes in the general fund. And even at our deepest problems in general fund, we didn't do the easy thing, which was let's just go increase utility funds. Everyone's got to have water. Let's plug it. I believe this community showed a lot of fiscal restraint and discipline in not doing that. But on the other hand, those things can't stay the same forever, because commodity prices, everything goes up, and you're going to have to adjust that to real-world dollars. So we got hit this year with a time when we realized We have to adjust that just to stay even. Mm-hmm. And it just so happened to be the same time that we were in a second year of a two-year reduction in things. So it sort of created a perfect storm. So I hope that as we go out 5, 6, 7 years, one of the things you'll include in your analysis is, will the if we decide to keep at the $90 million, how long do you anticipate? Is it going to be every 5 years we'll look at it? If it's 5 years, then what will we look at? Do we want to come up with another 5-year plan to maybe do gradual increases? I think that's something we probably need to talk about, mm-hmm. so that we can we're not hit with this self-created gap. And I think it really was self-created by the fact that I appreciate we kept it steady. We probably a year or two ago should have changed that a little bit, so we could keep even and even out the flow. So if you could, going forward, maybe look and see or throw into your models some potential increase 2, 3, 4 years down the road, or some simple increase, and see how we can better anticipate the need to stay even on real dollar amounts. I don't know that we ever want to get to the point where we're bringing more in from the enterprise because fund than we need, because that once again violates our fiscal discipline that we've been very good at following. But I also think we need to plan on maintaining at least a balanced approach. Does that make sense at all, or did I just ramble for a long
time?
That
makes perfect sense, Mayor.
Uh-oh.
I thought he rambled.
Okay. But even in my ramble, did it make sense?
No.
Okay.
It made sense. And that's one of the things that we can look at going
I'm
forward.
I'm glad you winked after saying
it
that.
It is an item that we've been looking at over the last couple of years, because the Enterprise Fund transfer is one of the major contributors to the resources that we use to fund public safety and parks and cultural and so forth, our general governmental areas. There are three main areas, and that is one of the areas of resources. So it is one of the things that we've looked at over the last couple of years, and how do we want to go about looking at this in the future? Because like you said, unfortunately, the cost to provide those services don't stay steady. Those continue to increase each year, and therefore the resources needed to provide those services continue to increase. So this is one of the areas that we do want to look at. So what I can say is when we come back, next year we come back and we do this, we do a forecast. Every forecast for us is an ongoing, it's a monthly basis. We don't always come back to council with that. But when we come back to council next year, what we will do is include some items in the model that would allow for increases in the future, what those would look like, how we would handle those, and so we can get some council direction on that.
Okay.
Also in here, what we have included is what the impact to the average homeowner would be on the recommended increases for 13, 14, and for the other fiscal years. We have them divided between the water, wastewater, and solid waste, because those are the items that do appear on our homeowner survey that we do publish, because not other municipalities do not necessarily have electric and gas. When we compare ourselves to other municipalities, we exclude our electric and gas rates and just look at the other ones. And so that's why we have them separated out here. For 13-14, the impact on the average residential homeowner would be $1.74 per month on their monthly bill. And with that, are there any other questions or comments we have for the Enterprise Fund?
Vice Mayor?
Do you want me to go back?
Do you believe that 2% is adequate? I mean, if we're going to, I understand, I don't want to raise it one penny more than we need to, but we're confident that 2% will put us in a position where we can most easily balance that out?
Yeah, it maintains the reserves, Mayor, through the 5-year forecast period that are the reserves that are planned that we need to maintain through that 5-year period.
Okay. Yeah, Vice Mayor?
Thank you. I appreciate you mentioning that. So there's been, for me, a lot of discussion, mm-hmm. as serving on audit and finance and working with our CFO and with the budget office and talking about those reserve funds and how much we should maintain. And again, everybody, I think, understands that with our rating agencies, we do not want to drop below 8%. That is mm-hmm. that golden number that keeps us in a good place, and as we that translate into savings on interest down the road. So I wholeheartedly support that. Now, the little bit of challenge I've had is where those rates are. There's I call it an institutional discomfort by staff, our professional staff, who are wonderful, and I appreciate all the forthright information they've given of how far we push that. There's always a buffer built in. And obviously, we're kind of in a situation right now that as we look at some of our forecasts and expected revenues that might have come from sales tax haven't been there. So we kind of have a little bit more going out than we have coming in. And so we need to figure out a way to take care of that. So again, you know, in our discussions, we've kind of pushed a little, you know, personally, I've kind of pushed a little hard because it seemed like those numbers were a little farther away than the 8% that I saw. But maybe you could kind of give a little reflection of why you feel like we have to keep a buffer on that 8%. And it, so okay. Help a little bit from
Mayor and Vice Mayor Fincher. One of the things that I should mention that we do want to address, that when we talk about our financial policies or our financial plan, one of the things that we look at over the forecast period is, do we maintain our reserves at about between 8 and 10% of the following year's costs? And that's kind of a benchmark or a guideline we look at. In the past, what we've tried to do is try to set our forecasts and our modeling to come somewhere in the middle. So usually we aim for about 9%. What we've done in these last two, both for the general fund and the utility fund, with direction from council, is we have allowed that percentage to go down closer to the minimum, closer to the 8%. So, for example, in this particular utility revenue, utility adjustment recommendation, we have looked out, and when we look at fiscal year 15-16, is when we achieve about an 8.25% reserve balance. And so that's kind of where our bottom is. Now, for 13-14, that would have a higher higher percentage fund balance, because, again, we're looking over smoothing the rates over time. And so we want to make sure that we're using some of that cushion, some of our rate recommendations in a future year. So a year where we may need a 5% or so forth that we didn't have reserves, maybe we can only do a 4% because we're going to use some of those reserves. We're still above 8%. But we're within our financial plan.
And is that because of the fluctuation, because of timing of outflows and things?
It's because of timing on costs, timing on revenues. We're looking at all of the various indicators, all of the expected costs coming in.
Well, based on our forecast, you know, we're drawing down the fund balance clear until 2016.
Year. Right.
So our outflow is greater than our dollars coming in.
We're managing our reserves.
We're trying to plan and just to come on a perfect landing, you know, four years from now. And so that takes a lot of precision when there's a lot of variables. So right now in our projected forecast, we don't go below 8%. We went below the 9%, and we're willing, you know, it's an uncomfortable recommendation to make, frankly. Mm-hmm. We will have to make adjustments if we get anywhere closer to the 8% than where we are. But in the forecast period, we will be spending down the fund balance all the way through 15-16. It's only until year 16-17 that we actually see a positive cash flow in the enterprise fund. And that's with all of the rates. And even then, it's at 8.3%.
But once again, you know, we're managing our reserves.
We're managing it down.
Why you have reserves.
But they are at the, I'm just making sure it's clear, they're at the minimum amount that we've established.
Yeah, the way that conversation was going, we have these excesses. No, we're managing the reserves and we're maintaining the reserves at the minimum amount we can, so we can soften cost increases to ratepayers.
Correct.
I mean, we could solve that real easily by having a major increase this year,
right.
And we if we would have really wanted to do that, we'd have left all that savings in reserve. But part of managing the reserves was taking that savings and basically applying it in addition to reserves to draw down on that. We knew we were doing that. What we're saying is that it didn't recover as much as we thought it would, so we're having to recover a bit of that give back that we promised. We're having to recover a little bit of it, and that's part of managing the reserves.
And I guess maybe I didn't get to finish the sentence. My appreciation is that with the pushing and, you know, you have, that is part of the suggestion, and that's part of the way we're managing this, and I appreciate it. 3 years ago, the council kind of asked, hey, would you kind of get it closer to 8 than 10? And so I appreciate, and it is part of the city manager's budget to look at that and kind of, push it. So thank you for doing that portion of it. Yeah.
Councilor Richards?
Just for the record, I like it closer to 10 than 8. I don't feel as comfortable having it go down as far.
And that's why, that's why I'm asking on the 2% this year. I mean, I hate increase, but I want to make sure that we feel comfortable. We're not playing by the edge.
Mayor, what it does, even at the 2% and the rates that you've seen up ahead, we will be below 9% by year 14-15, and for the remaining years of the forecast, 15-16, 16-17, and 17-18. We will be below 8.5% in each of those years. So getting pretty close to that landing. So that's, you know, we can manage, and those are out in the future, so it's not, you know, it's not happening tomorrow. So we will, each year we'll make the adjustment, we'll look out into the forecast and go with those. But that's what these rates are doing, and that's why these rates are 4.9 and we're at 2.3, because we're matching up with trying to maintain right above the reserves that are in our plan with each one of those rate increases.
So is 2.0 in the current year the where you want to head? Act totally. I mean, I'm trying to play off of what.
Well, I'll respond if I could, Mayor.
Go ahead.
So, hey, you know, Councilmember Richens wants to push it to 10. Feel right, Fury, to come up and go through that list of $3.4 million of asks, and let's whittle it down and take
I'm
it to 10.
I'm talking about the enterprise fund. Are we in the enterprise
Well, no,
fund?
No. I'm just talking about budget. So, and this is the discussion we need
I'll start
to have.
That list.
Right on it.
Let's don't mix, because we're talking enterprise fund now as far as rates.
But we're talking about funding the budget, and this enterprise rates was part of how we're trying to find a solution to our overall budget. So it has a...
No, but that's what I want to get away from, because I don't believe that that's totally the case.
Well,
because we've had a fixed amount on transfer, and what we're talking about is adjusting that amount, not just for this year, but once again, this is a five-year deal, and I think that's the misperception here and outside this council, that somehow we're raising rates just to cover a current year. No, we've had 5 to 7 years of a fixed amount of a general fund transfer from enterprise. That's not that's a great way to create discipline, because then every year you're not saying we're going to plug the current year hole with enterprise funds. But on the other hand, that needs to be adjusted periodically to maintain equality on a real dollar basis. You can't keep that $83.5 million going forever and not expect you to fall behind on the funding, because in real dollars, that 83 reduces every year. Okay, that right?
That's correct. The value of that.
So, yeah. I think the misperception is somehow, oh, we're increasing it just to cover the no, because whatever we increase it to is going to be the new benchmark, is going to move forward for the next 5 years, right? And you've proposed $90 million.
Correct.
As the new benchmark, that's going to be the amount. Well, whether we should have done it incrementally and gone up $1 million every year to where we wouldn't be talking about this, or we waited 6 years and then went up $6 million, I guess you could argue it probably would have been easier just to increase that $1 million every year, then we wouldn't be having this discussion. But we didn't, because we wanted to maintain the view that we were not taking the enterprise fund to plug general fund budget holes. And I'm hoping we're not looking at it this way this year. That was what sort of the rant was trying to accomplish. Apparently, obviously didn't. Because that $90 million is not going to go back down to 83 next year. It's going to stay there, and that's going to be the benchmark going forward, because that's how we manage long term. So whether it's the $3.5 million or the six, it's going to be a different amount every year on the general fund, which is a different argument, a different discussion, because we're going to be looking at what resources do we have in the general fund to apply that budget against.
And I think what Vice Mayor Finner was getting at was that there's trade-offs.
No, there are.
And there's trade-offs that we all have to take a hard look at still, even during the course of the rest of this process. And so I agree with that.
And that adjustment is one of those decisions to make. Yeah. That adjustment is one thing to make.
Right.
Okay.
Are there any other questions, comments?
That's what we have today. So.
All righty. Okay. Any more questions or comments?
Well, so when are we going to have this our budget discussion? As far as the city manager's put out a wonderful budget. We look at it. There's a couple of things I disagree with, and say, well, so I just don't know. I keep asking, when are we going to have this kind of a hard look at? You know, my big thing, I'll just be open and honest with folks, is increasing that secondary property tax to cover old debt. And what I would love to do is have, as we look at that 3.4 I mentioned and other asks, figure out how can we accomplish a balanced budget without raising those secondary property taxes. And I've been working behind the scenes, and staff's been wonderful. Fire ideas at them, they fire back, tell me I'm full of it, and you know, kind of stuff. But at some point, what I see is happening is on the revenue side, there's been a lot of asks to say, hey, let's look at the revenue side. But, you know, as the elected person that, you know, for District 2, I would say, well, let's look within the organization and see where we can save some money also. So I'm just hoping, I don't know when we're going to have that, that discussion on that portion of things. It's got to be soon, sometime, I would imagine.
Well, and I'm ready for the discussion. I've come to, I've met with each member of the council, and I've tried to incorporate the ideas and interests the council's either expressed here in the during the sessions here, and so they're here. So I guess, you know, even for the council, there's items on here that council members have asked us to consider.
True.
So in the 3.4, I think most of these we've discussed. I think if there's a consensus of the council that some of these items need to be removed, we'll be glad to remove them and talk about what that means.
I love that consensus of the council. That's saying, if hey, if I can come up with four votes, we'll look at it. But let I know, that's true. I did.
Well,
I've got to make the pleading
but
first.
I'd also like to have a better discussion, because once again, I think the reason we've been successful as a council, and I believe that we have been the standard bearer. This council and this staff has handled our budget issues for the last 5 years, I believe, better than anyone I've seen.
Absolutely.
And the reason we've done it is that we've created policies, and then we've followed those policies, and we've never been chasing the hole. We have avoided doing that, because we've set a policy and then we've got a budget that fits within it. One of the policies we set, and it wasn't fixed, but it was a suggestion, is that we would all new bond debt would be secondary property tax. We would ease into some others, because into some other existing bond debt go reach out and grab those. We didn't want to go out and grab it at once, because that's a short-term fix too. The policy consideration is the paying off of fixed debt payments with fixed revenue sources. That's the driver, to get away from the idea that we're dealing with this ups and downs of sales tax revenue to pay off fixed debt amounts. So if we're going to have a discussion on what we're going to do in the current year, and I don't disagree with the Vice Mayor that we need to have that discussion, I'd also want it to be couched in what are we going to do with our policy. Because to me, if we are going to still keep working to easing off of the sales tax as a source of repayment of debt, we need to talk about it in that context. Because if we don't want to do it, that's fine. Then let's look at how that impacts current and future general fund. I hope it's just not a one-year deal, because I think right now we've fallen into the trap of being perceived as chasing the deficit. And we've never done that before, and we've been extremely successful, and that's why I think we've handled our budget deficit the way we have. So however we do it, I'd like to keep that conversation in the context, because if we want to not increase that tax, well, the fact of the matter is that our policy has been to ease into where we're trading that.
I would respectfully disagree on that portion. I don't think we ever adopted that as a policy.
No, I didn't say we did. I said we loosely talked about it.
Okay, I remember to fund that fire station in a crucial area that lacked a response, that council said, hey, for that portion, we'll do O&M. But on the bigger scale, you know, and you captured it wonderfully, 5 years of heavy lifting from a political standpoint, wonderful staff. I just don't know if we need to do the heavy lifting to take old existing debt now and transfer that to an increase in the secondary property tax. Because, I'll take your argument, we have a quasi-primary property tax, and that is the water service. And we are, you know, doing some sort of increase. We don't want to act like we're chasing a deficit and going that route. I just think, as a kind of an elected person, looking at it and going, let's put a little bit of this heavy lifting back on staff. And I have a couple of suggestions, and I know we're a little tight on time, but I don't want to take too much of the talk time. But I would love to have that discussion of what's an alternative to taking old existing debt and putting it into a secondary property tax increase. So,
well, you have a comment first?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, no, Councilman Summers. Go ahead.
Oh, well, just switch it off. I think I'm comfortable with the direction that this is going, as far as what Mr. Brady's put together, and certainly we can have some more conversations about balancing the two out. But I want to remind people that over at least the 6 years that I've been on this council, we have made significant changes to this organization that have saved the taxpayer a lot of money. This is a much leaner city with respect to full-time staff than it has been in the past. We have cut more than $100 million out of the general fund budget over the past few years since the mayor and this council was elected. That's a significant portion of our general fund money. We have seen crime reduced to 1960s numbers. We've seen voters have come forward and saying that they want to build a different type of city. They've approved new parks. They've approved new public safety. They've approved the relationship we have with the Cubs in spring training. They've made it clear that they want a lean city, but they also want to make sure that we invest in the quality of life that they have in this community. So we have to be careful in how we balance these things, that we protect the investment that the voters have said they want to make, while at the same time making sure that we are as frugal and careful with both the taxpayers' dollars and our ratepayers' dollars, because they're not the same. But the conversation we are having right now and the difficulty we have right now is in some way tied to the fact that despite the cuts and despite the changes and the great reorganization we've done and what we've saved and how we have made very strong, very positive, very frugal fiscal decisions as council, we still rely on the same, in some ways, unstable revenue streams that we have for a very long time. We rely on intergovernmental transfers. We rely on sales tax. We rely on transfers from our utilities to come into our general fund. That's the way the city has been set up for decades. It's the way the city's finances remain. And in tough economic times, those are the things that take a hit. And sales taxes are improving. But they haven't quite improved as quickly as we had hoped. So the adjustments that we have to make, still fairly modest, but are keeping us on a tight budget, on a short leash with much of the organization we know is the city, while still trying to protect those investments in new parks and other amenities that we have put forward. So just something to consider as the story is written, Gary.
If we could go over the schedule once again, I'd like to look at that so we can see what we have until we get final approval. We have initial budget, which is the max budget. Is that June 3rd?
That's correct, Mayor.
So on June 3rd.
June 3rd, we'd be adopting the tentative budget, which would set the maximum for
which is just setting the maximum, all right? And we could do that today and still have the discussion you're talking about because we go down from there,
sure.
Right? And I look and see we have two study sessions before June 3rd to do that. It's 23rd and 30th. We have Memorial Day in between. The final budget approval is required by when?
We have a schedule for June.
Well, we currently 17th? Have a schedule for June 17th.
Okay, June 17th. Obviously, we should approve that before the end of the fiscal year. That might be a good idea.
And then the other timing factor that goes into that as well, Mayor, is that we adopt the property tax levy, secondary property tax levy, 2 weeks after the adoption of the budget.
Right, but okay. But the discussion can be made before the adoption.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So we have June 3rd is the max budget. I'll call it the max budget.
The max budget.
Okay, because we can't reduce. June 17 is the final budget that meeting. And then utility rates and everything would be July 1?
Utility rates are also on June 17th
for
adoption, correct.
Okay, so
no, they would be the introduction of the ordinance would be on June 3rd. You can still change it between the introduction and the final adoption of the ordinance on June 17th.
Okay. And if we had to, we could do a special meeting after that if it wasn't resolved, but I'm hoping we're not getting there, okay? So we could go max to June 3rd. That would give us June 3rd, June 6th, June 13th if we had to have some of these discussions that the Vice Mayor is talking about, which I think we need to have. We need to come in and make the decision as to whether we're going to, basically the decision is to adopt the staff recommendation, because that's really what we're talking about here. Staff has recommended a budget, and the city manager, I guess, by charter, has presented us with a budget, which they have recommended, which is multifaceted, and what it has is a general fund budget with certain budget items, and you've also submitted an enterprise approach with utility rates and as part of that a change to the transfer amount to general fund.
That is correct. Right. We're recommending both a revenue budget, revenue expectations, right, and also the appropriation for the expenditures.
So I think Mr. Brady, if we could have some talks either on the 23rd, the 30th, And even after we get to the max budget, if we can't, and if you want to wait until the 30th, I think we're still going to have a lot of council members missing on the 23rd. So maybe if we do it on the 30th.
You
on the
30th? Of May.
Of May. Yeah.
Okay.
30th. And then, of course, we have the max budget on the 3rd, which we could submit as we need right now and still reduce from there. And then if we need more time from the 30th, we can go to the 6th and even the 13th before we get to the final one. That gives us a whole three full meetings.
Okay.
Is that okay, Vice Mayor?
Sure. I'm just trying to, if I could. What avenue of expression can I use to be able to try and sell my fellow council members on the idea of doing something different than doing that increase in the secondary property tax to cover old debt? Maybe I look at the city manager. Because we're restricted on who we can talk to, how many people, I'm just trying to float some ideas. I realize they're going to get the stuffing knocked out of it, but I think there's some possibilities that not everybody will totally freak out about. So I'm actually trying to be part of the solution. The easy part for me in my district is to go, heck no, I vote no on all of it. But that's not, in my mind, not the right way to do it, at least be part of the solution. So.
Well, Vice Mayor, staff is available at any time to meet with one or two or more, within the requirements.
You've got 10 days, really, to work with staff. Well, 9 days to work with staff and other things and to communicate. They can talk to others and maybe flow some ideas as to what has been proposed, and then we'll talk about it formally on the 30th.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So over the next 10 days, if you have comments on the budget, now's the time to talk to Mr. Brady and get ready for the 30th when we talk about it openly together as a council. Okay? Thank you, Candace.
Thank you.
Reports on meetings and conferences attended. Okay. Mr. Brady, schedule meetings.
We will have a study session this Thursday, May 23rd at 7:30 a.m., and beginning this Saturday, May 25th, from 9 a.m. to noon, the police department will be doing a child ID safety event. They'll be at the community room over at the Bate headquarters at 120 North Robeson. So we encourage everyone to come and get their kids' ID cards and fingerprinting done then. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. No further business. Have a motion to adjourn, Councilmember Summers, second Councilmember Richens. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.